God is doing great things in our midst. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As a church, He's taking us through different phases. And I believe that, you know, there's, as what Pastor Selena said, there's a new season in our midst. And we need to, as believers, need to begin to hold on to what God has said and cling on to it by faith, arise and say, yes, God, this is going to happen. Why? Because you said so. Because you said so. And, you know, we got to live by that. Amen. Amen. Let me give you some announcements before we go. Okay. Do you remember Ben Lim? Ben Lim was with us for a year, I think, in our church. He's now pastoring a church in L.A. That's right. Los Angeles. So he has written a book entitled Men of Valor. And the Lord prompted in his heart to go down Singapore, go down KL and, you know, launch this book. And so he has been in Singapore, drove up to KL. And in the last 2 days, the Lord prompted in his heart to come to Penang. No plans to come to Penang one. Singapore, KL, go back to LA. Alright? So he's going to make, because you say so, okay? So because God said so, prompted in his heart, he's going to make a one-day trip to come up and, you know, just share and minister. Alright? So it's going to be on Tuesday, this Tuesday. He's going to come up Tuesday morning, arrive lunchtime. Then after that, you know, have lunch, whatever. hang out for a bit. So if you want to hang out, I guess you can contact him. And then at 8 p.m., we're going to do a book launch. So he's going to contact as many people as possible. And we said, okay, you know, those of us who can will make it. So it's going to be at this place called Precious Pages in Lorong Selamat. Precious Pages is a bookshop. So he's going to be there. And he's going to come and just, you know, share how the Lord led him to this book. And, you know, we're going to just go and allow the Lord to minister. Then after that, once he's done, latest by, I guess, 10:30, I guess. I mean, you can't go longer than that. He's going to drive back to KL. And his flight from KL to LA is on Wednesday morning. Okay, so that's how tight his schedule is. But he just felt, you know, the Lord wants him to come. So he's going to do that one-day trip. Just come, you know, and share. And then at night go back and immediately fly off. So he's going back from here straight to the airport. And early morning off back to LA. All right, so those of us who do not have anything on our calendar, we are available at that point of time, or if you can, you know, shift your calendar a bit, let's go and encourage this guy. I think some, if not most of us know him. He's been with us for a year or so, and, you know, the Lord is just leading him. I visited his church some years back, in LA, and, that time, you know, 10 people? 12 people, 15 people, just started, the Lord is just, you know, growing him and taking him to, you know, doing different things. So, you know, let's encourage him, okay? Those of you can make it a point to be there. All right. And then we have the, worship congress. And we want to encourage all of us to be part of this as well. There is a fee involved. Now the fee is supposed to be 150, but if you can get 5 people to, you know, come together, they will charge us only 500. Okay, so that's 100 instead of 150. Okay, Andrew is taking names. So first come, first serve. So we're just compiling the names. Every five, it's one group. Every five that we have, it's going to be just 100 ringgit. Okay, now, this whole, the purpose of this, that there's been a lot of talk in Penang, whether, what's this all about, and all these questions. And you may have heard some of these questions, but as a church, we felt that, hey, we need to be part of this. Why? For two reasons, at least two reasons. You can think of more. Number one, we believe that God has called us to be part and parcel of the work in the city. All right, whether it's prayer for the city, you know, calling down the presence of God, worship, and that's why we were involved in a 24-hour prayer, because we believe that God has called us as a church to be part of that. Okay. Secondly, whenever we get involved in something that's beyond us, God takes us to another level. He causes us to see things at a different perspective. You know, sometimes we can be very quote unquote inward looking. We just look at what we are doing. Me, my, I kind of thing. All right. And when we get involved with collectively as a church, of course, we don't, you know, disregard the local church. God has a specific purpose for that. But He calls the local church to also get involved, and what Pastor Selena was saying, in territorial things. Okay? To connect with the network of churches to get involved in territorial things within the city. And, you know, whenever we get involved with that, God does something to our spirit as well. Alright, so put that on your calendar if you can and get involved. Amen? I want to encourage every single one of you, alright, to get involved in that. Great. Turn to your neighbor, give one high five. Say, wake up, God's going to speak to your spirit. Make sure your heart is beating faster than it normally would right now, because, you know, God's going to minister. We are doing a series and on honor. And I've been thinking, you know, how often do we use this word honor? We use it in different contexts, and how sometimes, you know, we use that word so loosely. I remember my schooling days, you know, I joined the uniform society. I'll have joined, everybody must join one, right? So I was a scout. How many of you scouts here? Scouts, try to be scout, okay? So scouts, there's this scout's honor. Go on, put your hand up. We have scout's honor. What does that mean? Don't know. So the most time, well, we often use it in replacement of, you can trust me. We use it in replacement of, you know, I promise. Or stop short of saying I swear, scout's honor. Right? But do we really understand what that means? You know, when you get married, there is the maid of honor. Now we don't even use that term anymore. We just call them bridesmaid. So there's this maid of, the function of the maid of honor. Forget about it. A lot of times we don't, you know how to value that. The husband and wife come to the altar, you know, when they are about to get married. You know, they exchange vows, and part of the vow is, you know, I take you, you know, so and so, to love, to cherish, to honor. All right. And we talked about how that word honor itself, it means to value, to respect, to, you know, put your hand under and lift up. All right. To put your hand beneath and to lift up. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about different areas of honor. First of all, we need to honor God. Right? We need to place honor. The Bible tells us that we need to place honor toward God. We need to honor Him. And then we talked about we need to honor, the Bible tells us as well, those who are above us, who are, you know, on top of us, rulers, masters, employers, the pastors, the leaders. And in that juncture, we talked about parents as well, those who are over us. And today I'd like to share a little bit about the third area that the Bible talks about in terms of honoring, and that is to honor one another, to honor one another. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, let's read, let's read verse 9. We're going to look at verse 10, basically. But just for its context, let's read verse 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, just that paragraph there. Okay? All right. Ready?
Here we go. One, two, go!
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Amen. Verse 10 says that we need to love one another with brotherly affection. Love one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. I like the ESV. The ESV says this, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. We live in a society whereby, people who achieve are honored. People are honored because of their achievements. Okay? You go and study higher education and you do well. You know, you graduate with honors, right? So you do well, yeah. That is what happens to you. You know, most of you are sports people. You know, you do well, you get a medal, gold color, silver color, bronze color, you know. And so, you do well in sports, you get a medal. Soldiers, they receive Medal of Honor, right? There's so many movies talk about men of honor, right? Talk about soldiers who, you know, are extreme in what they do. You know, they do extremely well. You go to McDonald's or any makan place, there is the employee of the month, right? And these people are honored, put the photo there, employee of the month. Why? Because, you know, they have done some good deed, or there's a certain amount of excellence in their performance. And so, men and women are honored because of that. And today, I'd like us to think about just two areas, and maybe next week we'll branch off from there, two areas in terms of what it means to honor one another. You know, the ESV says, outdo one another in showing honor. Now, it gives us the picture that, hey, you know, there's some kind of quote-unquote competition going on. Let's outdo one another, you know. In other words, we need to put in a little bit more than just, are you good? I'll give you a pat on the back. Outdo one another. The NIV says, honor one another above yourselves. You know, so it's not just, you know, I'm competing against you to, you know, outdo you. You know, but put honoring one another above yourself. The American standard says this, give preference to one another in honor. Give preference. Gives us the picture that I choose, I prefer honoring you above anything else. In order, preferring one another, King James. In honor, prefer one another. Today's English version. Be eager to show respect for one another. Be eager. There are many things we are eager about. After this service, you will be eager to go out and eat somewhere, you know, something, I don't know. But today's English version says, be eager to show respect, or rather honor one another. Be eager to do that. You know, as I thought about that, how eager am I? How eager are we collectively to show honor? There are many things we are eager about, but honor? Something I need to ask myself. Something we need to ask each one of us. New Living Translation. Take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other. In other words, there needs to be joy. You know, not just, yeah, let's just honor. But there needs to be, there is something that is joyful. You enjoy honoring each other. So, the New Living Translation tells us to take delight. Message says, practice playing second fiddle. Meaning to say that second fiddle, you know, in an orchestra setting or a musical setting, the second fiddle is the one that gives the accompaniment to the main guy who is playing the violin. Support. One more. This is the Darby Bible Translation. As to honor, each taking the lead in paying it to the other. As to honor, each taking the lead. Take lead to pay it to one another. There are two things that's very interesting about this translation. It says, take lead. In fact, the original, this part of the verse has only three words in the original Greek. Okay, the first is translated the word honor. That has to do with, you know, respect and reverence and all. The second word is translated one to another. The third word is translated preferring or outdoing or taking lead. And so this translation uses that. To take lead in paying it to one another. Two things strike me about this this translation is that when you take lead, you have to go first. It's not people honor you, you honor them. But to take lead means you have to go first. And the other thing that strikes me about this translation, it says that taking lead in paying it to one another. Now the word paying means you have to give something of yourself. Give something when you go and pay, you have to lose. To pay. Right. And so honoring has this picture of, you know, giving, in fact, quote unquote, losing something to be able to honor. And that's really, really interesting. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And most of us are familiar with this scripture. It talks about high attitudes. And so, Today I want to talk about two things in terms of honoring one another. The first is attitudes. The second is what's our action? Attitudes and actions. Okay. And in attitudes, that's, you know, this is the scripture to turn to. And so let's read from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Okay. Let's just read the first couple of verses. Okay, ready? Verse 1, go. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, we just pause there. All right. It says that our attitude should be like Christ Jesus. But before Paul says that, he begins by saying that we need to be together. We need to be like-minded. Verse 2. Having the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. One spirit, one purpose. And so collectively, as the church, and as he begins to tell the church in Philippi, this is what you must do. You need to be united in this. One mind, one purpose. And then he goes on to talk about attitudes. And he uses the illustration of Jesus. And says, look at him. You know, he is God, but did not consider that, you know, something to be grasped. No big deal for him. But made himself lower. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and reading from verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Humility is not thinking that we are less than who we are. It is not having a low opinion of ourselves. But here he says that we need to look at ourselves with sober judgment, how in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to us. And when we think about attitude, we think about humility. This is the first thing that we need to, you know, really ask ourselves. Before you even go to, you know, honor someone, let's ask ourselves, hey, let's begin from how do we think about ourselves? Do we think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to? Who decides what we ought to and what we ought not to? The standard is God Himself. It's the Word of God. And so it says, think of yourself in accordance to the measure of faith that God has given you. So how do we think of ourselves in relation to faith, in relation to the Word of God, in relation to what God has said? In the midst of all that, don't think too highly of yourself. Let's look at two other scriptures that as examples. First one is in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18. This is the story of chapter 17 is where David confronted Goliath. All right, so you know the story. You know they were there 40 days, 40 nights, and so David comes along and he defeats Goliath. Right, and you know the king Saul gives him whatever he promised. But what happens is, let's read from verse 6 says this. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the woman came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? Verse 9, and from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Now what happens here is, David, a shepherd boy at that point of time, not even in the army, has risen to the point where he has brought victory because of him, has brought victory to the nation. Everybody was celebrating. And in fact, these ladies were out and they were dancing and, you know, they were celebrating together. But what happened was that, you know, they were singing, hey, this David has killed his tens of thousands. Well, not really true lah. So far he's killed one man, a giant. You know? But there was this celebration, and what's important to note is this, the position that King Saul took. He heard that and he became angry. The Bible tells us, he became angry, he became displeased, and he's going like, hey, what's happening? Why are they ascribing to David tens of thousands? Why? ? When only, you know, for me, they are saying that I'm 10% of David. And that caused a spirit of jealousy to come upon him. This is an example whereby a person can't stand it when spotlight gets shifted. And so we ask this question, what about us? Okay, when it comes to honor, when it comes to humility, what happens when the spotlight, which was supposed to be on us, gets shifted to someone else? What happens in our spirit? What's our attitude if or when that happens? Numbers chapter 12. And we read this before already when we talked about honoring your leaders. So Numbers chapter 12. This is the story of Aaron and Miriam. And I just read what they said again, you know. So we won't read everything. Let's read from verse 2. Okay. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has not the Lord spoken through us also? And God heard it, and as you read on, you know, God disciplined them. It's interesting to note the very next verse. You know, it says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now this passage here talks about attitudes, talks about humility. Humility as an attitude. And because Aaron and Miriam, you know, went against the leader and decided, hey, to talk bad against him, not honoring him, God judged them for that. They were disciplined for the lack of honor toward Moses. So as we think about honoring one another, the challenge for us right now is to think about our attitudes. You know, when we talk about honoring God, sometimes it's very easy to say, no choice, you know, He's God. You know, you do anything wrong, you don't honor Him, He will, you know, zap you. And then you become a pillar of salt or something like that. When we talk about honoring those above us, sometimes we can have, you know, that same mentality and same attitude. And then, yeah, they are our leaders, so, you know, we have to honor them. We have to do whatever they say. Because they are our leaders, you know, they are, you know, our parents and whoever's above us. We say, yeah, no choice, have to honor. So, no choice, have to follow. Right? But then when it comes to honoring one another, what happens is very often, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, keep us in check, what happens is very often our attitudes go haywire. We decide, hey, maybe, you know, this person, we don't say it out loud, maybe this person don't deserve as much honor as I should give. You know, you read the different versions on that, just that one verse in Romans chapter 12, right? How we need to honor one another above ourselves. You read that alone, it causes us to think about what we are doing when the Bible tells us we need to honor one another. Let's get our attitudes in check. How do we stay humble? Let me give you a few suggestions. Number one, we need to get rid of the I'm holier than thou attitude. I'm better than you. Right? It's something that we need to, you know, number one, check and say, let's get rid of that. Holier than thou attitude. Number two, we need to see who God is and who we are in reference to who He is. Keeps us in check. As mentioned earlier, you know, the standard, the reference is always God. We need to see who we are in light of who He is. And then number three, we need to see others also in light and in reference to who God sees them to be. We constantly need to ask ourselves this question. Okay, number one, I'm not a greater, bigger, more clever, more holier, especially. I'm not more holier than anybody else. Number two, I need to understand who I am in reference to who God is. Number three, I need to see the other person from the perspective and understand that in reference to who God, or rather how God sees that person. And once we piece all these three things together, more often than not, humility is in check. Our attitudes are in check. We are all valuable enough for Christ to come and die for us. And if that be the case, then every person deserves our honor. We need to learn how to honor one another. How do we do that practically in our actions? So number one, our attitudes. Number two, our actions. We're going to do this very quickly. Number one, in our actions, learn to praise and compliment one another. This is one thing that I confess that I need to work on a little bit more. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And this is the story of the centurion from verse 5 onwards. Okay, just give me a minute. NIV disappeared. Okay, there we are. All right, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, okay, I'm reading in ESV, right? The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." This guy comes and says, you know, help. And Jesus says, you know, should I come? And because he understood authority, he says, no need. Just say it. Why? Because he knew that Jesus had the authority. But the interesting thing is this, is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the centurion says this, in verse 10, Jesus, he says, when he heard this, he was amazed. Jesus was amazed, and he said to those following him. In other words, he said this to the crowd. He didn't say this to the centurion, you know, he didn't whisper it into his ear. He said this to the crowd, and he says, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Number one, let us learn to shower praise. Okay, you encourage me, I encourage you. Alright, turn to your neighbor now and, you know, say something. Don't fake it, okay? Say something to praise the person honestly. Come on. Okay, learn to shower praise, number one. Amen. Number two, learn to spend time with people you want to honor. You look at the example of Jesus, you know, when he was on earth, he spent a lot, yeah, he spent time with religious people, but he spent a lot of time with, you know, sinners and tax collectors, quote unquote. Right? That got him into a lot of trouble. But he spent time with them. He would go into a common person's house. You know, he even let a prostitute anoint his feet. And he spent time with these people. And so, we need to learn how to shower praise, number one. Number two, we need to learn how to take time. Spend time with them, because when you spend time with them, you pay something out. Right? That's what honoring does, right? We must be leaders in paying it to one another, right? And so when you spend time, that energy, for sometimes when you spend time with people, it takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of concentration. You know, we go back, you know, we're like, oh, drain. You know? But that's the paying. That's the spending time and learning to honor one another. Number three, we need to learn how to see people in spotlight with joy, with excitement. You know, one of the versions said this, take delight in honoring one another. And so practically, our actions, we need to be able to see people in the spotlight and be happy about it and be joyful about it. As I was thinking about this, this is the most recent example. Now, we were involved in the 24-hour prayer, right? Worship, 24-hour praise and worship, okay? So we're there, you know, the worship team ran up and shared this with the worship team. Initially, we looked at the stage like, it's so small. But, you know, I just felt the Lord say, put the whole worship team up. Okay, so everybody have to go up, squeeze, share mic, you know, that kind of thing. And as they were worshiping, you know, the Lord led me to talk to different people. You know, the first thing that I realized, then I haven't heard this for a long time, right? Chris Cole on the guitar. So initially we said, okay, who's on guitar one, who's on guitar two? Right now we have two teams, you know. Everybody seems to be on guitar one, no more guitar two, right? The guitar two is the one that gives the backup, you know, that plucks the strings, that gives the, you know, that plays the second fiddle, so to speak. Okay? And because, you know, we are a small group, you know, it's always been jang, 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 jang all the time. You hardly hear, you know, notes. And I was there at the 24, you know, at the prayer, the worship time, you know. And I said, hey, haven't heard Chris for a long time. You know, that I was standing behind, you know, that put a smile on my face. Said, hey, this one, good stuff. Lah. And I felt, you know, joyful. Just hearing that. Then I was talking to the other group, another group. One of the guys shared this. He said, hey, now I'm very stressful. You know, I said, why stressful? So he said, you know, that guy, he, you know, played the cajon so well, you know, I'm supposed to play next. I'm very stressful. Cannot be like that. So, I responded by saying, you know, this, you know, he said, it's your guy, all right? He said, your guy, lah. Very good player. So my response was, this has nothing to do with me. Because, you know, the Lord is the one who empowered him. I didn't, you know, teach him, you know, this is how you play, you know, boom, cha, cha, cha. I didn't teach him how to do that, you know. But the Lord empowered him. So I said, you know, there's nothing to do with me. It's just the Lord, lah. And you just go in the strength of the Lord, and the Lord will lead you to play however the Lord will lead you. I don't have to compare, you know. But when he said that, he was like, wow, this guy, you know. So you see, I don't want to go up there and play anymore. many months you never see me play anymore because this guy good, so you know, let him play. And it has been such a joy to do that. So take joy when you see people in the spotlight. Take joy. You know, learn how to see people with joy in the spotlight. In thinking about honor, you know, there are certain things that we need to reflect upon our lives. Where are we in learning to honor one another? At the most basic level, okay, level one, you know, many times, and sometimes we fall back into level one. Every time we fall back to level one, you know, ask the Lord, you know, forgive me, and move on. You know, level one of learning to honor one another, we are very quick to say, hey, you know, how come people overlook me? What about me? I also can play as good as him, lah. You know? How come nobody say, maybe next time he don't play, I go and play. We do. No. You know, that's. Did someone just overlook me? You know, that was what Saul said. You know. Hey, what happened? And what that caused him, you know, to become very angry. And so when someone else is honored, when you choose to honor someone, we can get caught sometimes. We can be tempted. Hey, I want to honor you, but hey, look at me. I'm honoring this guy. Don't forget me. You know, if I'm lifting someone up, level one says this, you know, look at me. Don't just look at the person I'm lifting up, you know, but look at me lifting this guy up. Don't forget me. Level one. The next level is, you know, we are willing to share spotlight. So we a little bit better, but it's you and me. We play together. Okay. We just make noise together. And although we are not at the level whereby we say, hey, you know, don't forget me. We are, you know, it's about us. You know. Let the spotlight shine on us. You go to the next level. Now, you can forget about me, you know, just focus there. Level 3. It's all about this guy. Nothing to do with me. Now, sometimes we have this, what we call John the Baptist kind of syndrome, you know, whereby we say, he increase, I decrease. Yeah. But what happens inside is another thing. We're like, oh, he's good. You know? And so we, level 3, when the spotlight is on the other person, we walk away and we say, yeah, it's, you know, it's good. It's good. Walk away. I'm small, I'm a worm, you know, not so good. This guy better. So, yeah. And we think we're okay. But the next level is where we're going to get at. Whereby the spotlight shines on the person and we are there and we're cheering on. Come on, man. That's the way it is. I honor you because of what you are doing in the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves, hey, where are we? You know, if we are at, hey, then we have to come before the Lord and say, hey, you know, we're not supposed to be at that. And sometimes we want to share the spotlight, right? Together. You know. At other points, the reverse of that is, you know, it's all about him. You know, nothing about me. But then how can we then celebrate what God is doing when the spotlight is on another person? How can we honor that person and still at the very same time rejoice? I'm going to end here. This is only one aspect of honor. There are many things that we can talk about. But for us today, I'd like us to think about what are our attitudes and what are our actions. Just these two things. What are our attitudes and what are our actions? Our attitudes need to begin with a humble heart. We need to begin by saying, Lord, help me check my attitude. Help me check the humility level. How do I get rid of the holier than thou attitude? How do I see the other person? How do I see myself in light of who God is? How do I see the other person in light of, you know, how God sees that person? How do we go about honoring one another? At what level are we when it comes to leading and paying it to one another? At what level are we when it comes to honoring one another above ourselves, NIV? What level are we when it says, be eager to show respect, to show honor? Be eager to outdo one another. What level are we? Shower praise. Let's learn to do that. Let's learn to spend time. Let's learn to see the other person and be joyful when the spotlight is on that person. And that's how we begin to learn to honor one another. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. As our heads are bowed, let's ask ourselves, or let's ask the Lord, really, to answer this question. Lord, where am I in learning to honor one another? How do I fare, Lord, in relation to your standard, not anybody else's standard, not the world's standard, not even a standard that has been imposed on me by, you know, somebody else, but based on your standard, God, how well do I honor one another? How well does this scripture apply to me? Lord, teach me what it means. You know, then pray this prayer. Lord, teach me what it means to outdo. To outdo one another in showing honor. Teach me what it means to take delight in honoring. Teach me what it means to give preference. Teach me what it means to honor another above myself. Teach me what it means to take the lead in paying it. Paying honor to one another. Teach me, Lord. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and teach each one of us. Lord, you have promised that your Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Right now, this day, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us what it means to honor one another. Teach us what it means, Lord, to obey your word in honoring one another. Father, we come before you and we say, Lord, it is only by your grace. By ourselves, we are selfish people. We don't know how to honor people. Forgive us, Lord. But right now we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just teach us. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.